along the river in a spot I went to this morning and spent a little time praying. I prayed for this message. I prayed for, you know, the way it's received and those kind of things. And I did pray that you're encouraged, that you're blessed and encouraged, but convicted. Because there is some of that in it too, that we just need to get a little bit of guidance sometimes. We don't want to water the word down and not say it the way it is. Because so I'm going to show you some stuff that King Solomon said that's pretty straightforward. And some of it is really encouraging. It's a blessing. And you're like, wow, that's great. And then you read this other stuff he said. It's like, yeah, that's in there too. So we got to get both sides of it. So we'll get into that this morning. But let's start with prayer. Father, we are yielded vessels to you. Father, we're yielding ourselves to you as just a cup, Lord, to fill us up to the point we're running over and spilling out onto the people around us, Lord. Let us be bold with our faith to be alive and well in the understanding of the grace that we walk in, that you have anointed us in to go forth and to shine brightly in our community and in our homes and in the schools or in the workplace or wherever we're at, Lord, just to give you the praise and the glory for it. Let your name be exalted this morning, Lord. We're going to talk about drawing close to you, Father, and I pray as we press in, and I know it'll happen because your word says it will, as we draw near to you, that you will draw near to us, Lord. We need that this morning. Each of us needs a touch from heaven, Father, to revel in your presence and in your love and in your grace and your anointing this morning. And I just pray for that. I pray that we sense and know and walk in your love and grace and your anointing this morning as we leave here. Father, we're praising you for it. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about drawing nigh unto God. Okay, first I want you to think for a moment about a time in your life when you felt very close to God. Okay, not just like a moment. Okay, we all have some moments, right? I talk about God moments. Okay, not a God moment, but more like a period in your life where you can kind of look back and recall where it just seemed like everything that you were asking for was coming to pass, okay? Or maybe you just felt like, man, God's favor was just abundant in your life, that everything you touched just seemed to prosper. Or maybe you saw divine provision or you saw divine protection just at a time that you were vulnerable. And so you go about your day-to-day business and you just sense and knew that the presence of God was with you. So my question is, what characterized the circumstances in your life at that time? Okay, what was going on? What was the bigger picture, the bigger scene of your life when you felt really close to God? Now, some might have been going through some serious stuff, like maybe a battle for your health. Okay, and we know people even today that are battling for their life. I mean, they're in it to win it, and they're going to win, but they're battling. They're knee deep, neck deep in it, Father. But they're seeking the Lord. Okay, they're talking to Him about it every day. They're looking up scriptures about healing and reverently thanking Jesus for what He accomplished on the cross. And some people will go through that period in life and they will just praise the Lord every day until they see that healing manifest in their physical body, okay? Or some might be going through, you know, something that it's more like a, you know, maybe at that point in your life, you're going through the midst of a heart-wrenching relationship struggle, okay? When the best that you could do was just to survive from day to day, just trying to make it through a day without, you know, without breaking down or without, you know, giving in to that overwhelming feeling. But during that time, you were constantly dependent on the Lord for comfort and strength. Okay, that every day you just knew that He was the source of your strength. You're reading your verses and you're seeking Him. Okay, other people might have had a major event in their life, not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it could be something good, like a new move. You know, you're moving to a different community or a different job, or you get some new opportunity that you're seizing. And during that time, it was all these firsts, right? The first time you did, the first time you met, the first place you went here. And so there's all these firsts. And so during that time in life, you're just seeking the Lord constantly for wisdom. God, show me how to do this and what to do. You're seeking Him every day for guidance. God, help me to do the right things, to be in the right place. Help me to make it to my class on time. Help me to, you know, whatever it is in that point in your life. I know as Margie and I were helping our pastor and his wife plant churches around the country, each and every move across the country was filled with total dependence on God for wisdom, okay, for provision, for connections, to be in the right place at the right time. And those experiences in my life, I would consider, at least by me, to be some of the absolute best times in my life when it came to my relationship with Jesus. I mean, there's just times, I remember as a, even pre-Margie, in the first move, I was just getting, my faith was still being built and whatever, but I tell you, I carried a Bible everywhere I went. I went out to eat by myself and took my Bible and just opened it up and read it at lunch. I read at supper or whatever it was. Everywhere that I went, I would carry my Bible because my life source was drawn from that. And even to this day, I can't think of too many places, maybe to the beach or something, where I might not take a Bible with, but it'd probably still be in the beach bag. I mean, you're it's just a knowing that you need God and you have that. Well, all these different scenarios in people's lives are marked by a time when they diligently sought the Lord. Okay, it was marked by a time when you felt close to God. It's when you intentionally were seeking God because you were kind of at the end of your rope. You're kind of without any other source or whatever it was, and so you just kept going back to the Lord and seeking the Lord and going to the Lord and seeking the Lord more, and those kind of times, that's what marks those periods in our lives when we can look back on them and say, that was as close to the Lord as I've ever been, or I just remember God's presence being so thick during those times. And we'll look at a scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. I know many of you probably know this first part, but it's the next two verses I want you to see as well. For God said, he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Okay, God is not hard to find, and he's not hard to draw close to. It just takes searching for him. It takes an intentionality in our walk with God where we say, I'm going to get closer to God than I am right now. And all that takes is praying and seeking him and getting a little bit closer, and he is right there to be there with you. You know, recognizing that God is the ultimate source of wisdom, that God is the ultimate source of guidance, counsel, and comfort. The writer of Proverbs, or most of it, Solomon, who is known as the wisest man to ever live, he said that the wisdom of God cries out to you and me like this. And it's in Proverbs 8:17. Wisdom cries out to you and says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." I love them that love me. So if you want greater wisdom, okay, we know God's word says you can ask wisdom and he'll give it. Say, so those that seek me early shall find me. Okay, well, the common denominator in all those who find themselves close to God is that they make a point of seeking God. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but I would ask how many Christians today go through the whole day without ever opening up God's word and reading it? Or how many Christians go through an entire day without praying, even one quick prayer over a meal or at bed or any other time? How many would never exert any true effort into connecting with your Lord and Savior throughout the day? You know, probably far too many Christians fall into that category. Some of you have to brush the dust off your Bible to go to church on Sunday. Whew, blow it up. Been there. I do that because I have so many different Bibles in different rooms and whatever. If I haven't been in that room for a while, you have to blow it off. I know how it is. Although Margie keeps our stuff very well dusted. I want to eat tonight, right? No, I just can't. Amen. God spoke through Moses. In fact, you'll see it. I looked up the term jealous just because I was looking for this one quote. I knew that God had spoke through Moses and said, "I am a jealous God." But that term, I am a jealous God, is in the Bible several different places where different Jeremiah and others, you know, they use this phrase to talk about how God says of himself that he is a jealous God. You know, God doesn't want you seeking the carnal world for wisdom. He wants you to come to him as his source. He doesn't want you to avoid having any sort of discussion with him about the direction of your life. Some people don't, right? They don't want to hear what God has to say, so they don't ask him, okay? And they'll avoid that conversation with God. You know, God wants you to be completely dependent upon him. Okay, you know, I know that some of you might struggle with that statement, that God wants you completely dependent on him. Because you like to be in a little bit of control, right? You like to have some say in what happens. Okay? And oftentimes what happens is you like to call the shots and then have God stamp his blessing on it. Okay? And Christians do this. I'm sorry, but we do. We already get our mind made up. We already know what we want, and we just want God to stamp that. The call of the gospel, according to Jesus, is that we are to lay down our life and take up the cross daily. You know, we don't always get to have the say in everything. I mean, we can, and I'm going to show you some scriptures, show you the other side of what Solomon said. Okay, we can make more decisions in our life and not give it to God and listen for what he wants us to do, but we're always going to be better off if we listen for the voice of God. Listen to what Solomon writes. This is the guy who spoke of wisdom, saying, "Those that seek me early shall find me." But then he also spoke these prophetic words. They're the opposite side of that. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 24. He's still talking in a different place. He's talking about wisdom again. He says, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." You know, another way to say that would be this, and I'm going to read this to you. It says, "Because I called unto you, and you refused to answer. I stretched out my hand, and no one has paid attention to my offer. And you treated all my counsel as nothing, and would not accept my reprimand. I also will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your dread and panic come like a storm, and your disaster comes like a whirlwind, when anxiety and distress come upon you as retribution. Then they will call upon me, says wisdom, but I will not answer. They will seek me eagerly, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, that is, obeying him with reverence and awe-filled respect. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own wicked way and be satiated with the penalty of their own devices." You know, to read it like that, it sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? It sounds like God wants you to pay attention when he is speaking wisdom and wise things are being given you in godly counsel and other things. He wants you to heed to that and not to refuse it and to reject that. Unfortunately, this passage is a reality for those who are stubborn. Okay, those who have a rebellious heart. Okay, those who are rejecting the counsel of God. Okay, if you reject sound wisdom over and over and over again, it hardens your heart against the ways of God. And even when it's exactly the wisdom that you need, you still reject it because your heart is desensitized to the things of God. Listen to what James says in James chapter 4. And I'll start in verse 6. James 4, 6 says, "But he giveth more grace." Everybody say, "Thank you, Jesus." Okay. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Listen to the language that God uses in his word for you there. He says, submit yourself unto God. Okay, draw near to him. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. And realize that those trials and the difficulties that you're going through can be some of the best times of your life. Those things cause you, and I never thought I would preach this way. I'll just be honest. I never did. Because I grew up in the charismaniac world, man. You just faith it till you make it. Everything is good. Nothing bad ever happens. And I'll tell you, when you live that way with that mindset, it's pretty true. Because whatever's coming your way, it's like it just bounces off because you're just walking by faith in God. And I still try to live that way to for the most part. But I've learned over the years to listen to the circumstances of my life. Okay, what it is that happens for reasons. Either I missed it, either I wasn't listening, didn't hear God, and I'm going through something because I didn't listen to God. Or God has still got something, even in that situation, that I'm learning and growing and that can still make it one of the best of my life. Moving across the country with no job, no money, no place to live, none of that stuff is not easy. We've done it many times, Marge and I, over the years. Okay, and each and every time, it was a very difficult time in life. But yet I said earlier, they were some of the best times in my life when it came to being close to God. Because you learn that total dependence on God is not scary. Total dependence on God is good. It's called walking by faith, right? You believe in something you haven't yet seen. You're trusting in God to provide and to take care of you and to protect you and to guide you. And you got nothing but God. Okay? And God has always been enough. He is always going to get you there. You know, these things cause you in your life to draw near to God. Okay, they cause you to cleanse your hands, okay, to purify your minds, your heart, okay, and they cause you to stop being doubtful because you're at a point where you've got nothing but faith and you've got to trust God and you've got to lean into him. I like how one interpreter summarized these verses when he said it like this. He said, "So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious. Get really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way that you'll get back on your feet." You know, to cleanse your hands and to purify your minds, okay, you start that process with desire. You have to want to get stuff out of your life that is not of God. Anything that might be hindering or blocking or confusing or, you know, making it so that I'm not crystal clear with what God is saying, I don't want it in my life. I want to get it out. Okay, so that's the first thing, is to desire to get the stuff out of your life. Okay, then you make a conscious decision to do it. I've had enough. I'm done. Or I've had enough. I'm starting, right? I'm going to start doing something new. Okay, and then you make that conscious decision to do it, and then you commit yourself by applying action to your decision. Okay, you're going to put something in motion, in other words. You're going to delete the post, right? Or you're going to disconnect your internet. You're going to cancel your cable subscription. You're going to get a different job that doesn't keep that door of temptation right there in front of you. You're going to commit to godly counsel and receiving that. You're going to get an accountability partner and talk to somebody about what's going on so that now you're not alone in your battle. Okay, whatever it is, you put something in motion that cannot easily be undone. Once you tell your accountability partner and you connect with them and you're working forward together, they will never forget it, right? They always know. Now you put something in motion that can't be undone. Once you do that, it's an act of faith. Okay, you're stepping out, stepping in, saying, I'm putting action to what I believe, which is that I don't need or want that anymore, and I'm stepping forward into it. Now I've got people working with me. Okay, willful disobedience, just allowing stuff to go on in our life and never thinking we need to deal with it, that willful disobedience pushes God away. Okay, that's why we're to never let our guard down. Okay, and become complacent and yield to ongoing sin in our life. Just getting okay with it. Okay, seek to get that stuff out. Seek to get right with God at all costs. Okay, don't settle for, well, it's not that bad. Or, well, I'm better than I used to be. Okay, don't quit there. This is a constant life of I guess I'd call it improvement. Okay, it's a constant life of getting more connected with God, walking deeper in love with Him, having more of His righteousness just emanating. It's a free gift, but so how many know you can have the free gift of righteousness but not act very righteous, right? Okay, so start letting Him do that and just living through you. The more and more and more that you can yield to Him, it just gets better and better and better. It's like the Apostle Peter said, I think it was Thursday night, we talked about it. He said, with all diligence, seek to make your calling and election sure. In other words, seek to make it real, not just to you, but to God and everybody else around you. It's a committing to demonstrating by living a holy life that your life belongs to God. Okay, if you've said the prayer, God, Jesus, my life is yours. I give you my life. Take me. Cleanse me, do what you got to do in me. If you've said that prayer, then live that prayer. That means your life is not your own anymore. You don't get to decide, hey, I want it. Well, you can, but you shouldn't decide that I want to go and live this way and do this and do that and in things that are totally against God. Down inside, you know that it's wrong. Okay, live the right life. Live that holy life. And if you mess up, then go to God and say, God, you saw it. I saw it. We felt it. I'm feeling it. Help me. And God does. Every single time, He will help you to get to the next step. He'll get you through that time. Humility is something that draws God's attention. Okay, when you humble yourself, because if you don't need God, guess what? You won't draw near to God. Okay, if you don't need God, you don't seek Him. If you don't think that God is important or valuable, that His solution and His answer is not the very best, you simply won't go to Him anymore. You'll go to whatever. You'll go to Google. You'll go to the doctor. You'll go to the bar. You'll find some other way to get some help for whatever it is that you're struggling through instead of going to God. Okay, I've been doing a daily devotion here the last few weeks on being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and this week I came across something that I wanted to share with you this morning. It was written by a pastor. Okay, and in it, in this writing, he says this. He says, humility attracts God's attention. When you want to make a decision and want God's help, it's important to have the right attitude. First of all, remember that willful disobedience in any area of your life can harden your heart to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's like someone who has his hands over his ears and he asks a passerby for directions. He simply won't hear the directions. Remember also that God knows everything about you, even what is in your heart and in your thoughts. A humble and God-dependent heart attracts the Holy Spirit. Here's how to know if your heart is humble to make good decisions. Are you willing to do what God tells you, no matter what the cost? Or do you have a plan B if God does not speak to you? Often what prevents us from hearing God is that we have an idea in mind And no matter what God says, we will do what we've already decided. Under those circumstances, God often remains silent because our request for direction is a form of contempt for him. As a pastor, I have often heard people say to me, "But pastor, I prayed for this decision." My answer is always the same, "And what did God tell you to do?" Praying is not a way to ask God to bless our decision. Prayer for a decision should be a questioning of our motives and desires in light of his word and his will for our lives. You know, the scripture that we read a few minutes ago said to humble yourself. Okay, if you think about that, humble yourself. Why wait until you're forced into humility? Like the proverb described earlier, when you refuse God's instruction over and over again, so then he just allows you to walk right into the disaster that you think you want. You know, Margie and I were talking about this. I talk about my wife a lot. Can you tell? I love my wife. We spend a lot of time together. She's a good woman. We were talking the other day about our hand being forced into certain things. And, you know, when you're, we don't have a lot of income as pastors, if you know that. So sometimes there's things that we want to get fixed or we want to buy or, you know, that we kind of need, but we just, it's not quite there yet. Until our hand gets forced, okay? And at that moment, there's nothing you could do. We had a horse, you know, that was 30 years old or whatever, starting to sway back, bones sticking out. I mean, he was getting old. And we were going to have to put him down this fall, right? And we knew that, you know, and it's always nice if you can plan the day and call the neighbor, he comes and digs the hole with the backhoe, and then you take him out with a vet. And it's always much better to do that way. Well, our hand got forced. We were going to do it this fall, and our hand got forced one day, and we go out to do chores, and the horse is down and can't get up. And guess what? Then I have to put it down, and I have to do all that other stuff. Okay, well, at that moment, I was thinking, and I had this connection that my hand was forced to do what I knew we were going to do, but we were putting off, you know, for whatever reason. It's expensive to have the vet out and do that stuff, and it's a hassle to have, you know, there's things to line up. It's just, yeah, I'm human, right? We put stuff off sometimes. But that was forcing my hand to do that day. Okay, whatever else I had on the plate had to be dropped because this now took priority. Okay, when it comes to humbling yourself, you can do that yourself without being forced to be humble. Does that make sense? It's better if you do it yourself. If you choose, God, I'm going to wake up this morning and I'm just going to praise you and I'm going to thank you. It's better to humble yourself to seek the Lord than to wait until you're forced into a situation where now you have to seek the Lord because you have no other option. Okay, now you can humble yourself in part by simply getting yourself into the Word of God. Okay, you get in there and read it. God's Word will help keep you humble. Jesus said, John 15:7, he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Okay, do you know why? It's because when you're in God's word, the things that you're going to be asking for are going to be lining up perfectly with God's will. When your will and God's will line up, you get what you pray for, and it's much, much better than if your will is different than God's and you push and push and push and push until you get your will. It's not going to be as good as if you let it be God's will. Okay, that's why we want what we pray for to line up with God's will. If you remember, John said this, 1 John 5:14, he said, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Okay, the Holy Spirit is going to help you with this. He will be your best friend when it comes to drawing near to God. Okay, the Holy Spirit, the psalmist said this. He said, "Deep calleth unto deep." Okay, the deep things of God are connected with the deep things of God. Okay, it is the Spirit of God that helps you to draw near to God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. It says, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. but God has revealed them unto us. Somebody say, thank God, right? God has revealed them unto us by his Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God does. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit was given to us to help you, okay, to help us with connecting with God. Jesus said that he would send us a comforter who would help us and advise us and counsel us and teach you literally all things, Jesus said. But if you're avoiding him, okay, or if you're rejecting his help, okay, or if you're even pushing him away, then you're going to end up being alone in your decision and you'll head straight into trouble because now you're using man's wisdom to figure life out instead of seeking God. Remember that verse that said to cleanse your hands and to purify your heart? Okay, well, the Holy Spirit does exactly that. He helps you with your infirmities and your weaknesses so that you can overcome them. He is constantly, the Bible says, making intercession for you according to the will of God. And when the will of God is coming to pass in your life every day, it can't get any better. Okay, that's as good as it's going to get. So seek that, find that. You want to live a good life and have life coming together the way that it's supposed to? Seek the will of God and let the Holy Spirit bring things to surface so that you can get it out and say, I don't want that. Put things in motion to get rid of it. Whatever you got to do. Learn to lean on God, okay, and depend on him, okay, to let go of trust and rely on his decisions. Make it so that what God says goes, right? And you're not going to settle. You know, I have one last story to end with this morning, but many of you know I met with my pastor here a couple weeks ago, and he had a major life decision they were making. And it was, you know, I didn't know the time frame on it. I knew he was going to look at this property and a house and in a different state even. And so I wanted to help him with it, and I offered, and he said, sure. So we met, we do all this stuff. I get together, and I'm thinking this is probably like what, you know, they set up a closing maybe 60 days out or something like that. We were meeting on a Tuesday to look at the house. I was helping him with the inspection. It closed on Thursday at 11 o'clock, okay? And I wondered, why does he wait? You know, why wait that long to make a decision, you know? And even at that point, he's like, what do you think, brother? What do you think, brother? And we're texting back and forth and we're calling because he still hadn't made a decision Thursday morning on whether they were going to buy that property or not. I thought, why wait? You know why he waits? Drove me crazy most of the time we hung out together. He waits until he hears God. And when God says, do it, then he was okay. I texted him later on the day. I said, what happened? Did you do it? He said, yep, we did. I confirmed it because God had spoke to me the day before, but I didn't want to influence him, so I let him make the decision. But I heard what they were supposed to do. It wasn't right for me. It wouldn't be right for me and Margie, but it was perfect for them. And that's what I heard in my spirit. And so I waited and waited, and then I texted him and said, hey, how'd it go? What happened? And he told me. I said, perfect. That's exactly what God said that you were going to hear. So it's just a matter of waiting to hear the voice of God and not getting impatient. Okay? He did it over and over. We would wait, several months living with family one time before we knew where we were going to plant the next church. It was hard. We were calling him, do you know anything yet? Do you know anything? Nope, not yet. And it's because he was waiting on God. He wasn't going to force the hand of God. He knew what he wanted to do. Okay, and he would mention a city or something. Well, I think we should, maybe God is saying something about Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, you know. And so what do I do, right? Research and start finding places. And I'm all gung-ho thinking this is where it's going to be. Yeah, we're going to move to Coeur d'Alene. No, we ended up not going anywhere near that. And it was because he was waiting to hear perfectly from the Lord before the next step was taken. Okay, I encourage you to do that. Wait on the Lord and listen and learn to be dependent on him. As you draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. Okay, seek him. Draw from him. Father, we are praising you this morning. It's all about you, Lord. Let's let our hearts be tender and yielded to you, Lord, to listen. To listen when you speak, Lord. And Father, help us with that area of getting junk out that we don't need, that's trying to intervene or block us from hearing you. Help take the hands away from cupping our ears, Lord, so that we can hear the directions that you give. Father, we're just submitting unto you, allowing you to have your way, Lord, and we want to listen and hear and obey what it is that you're speaking for us to do. Father, letting our own hopes and dreams and desires, I know that's all part of it, Lord, but we want it truly to come down to our will that lines up with you and your will, Lord. I want the very best for each one of us in this room, anyone that tunes in online, Lord. We want to be yielded to you, so we pray, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. We trust you this morning. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Amen and amen.